Will you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much. Thank you so much for your son, Jesus. And we do believe that you are coming back again. Lord, as you use me to give the message this morning, I just pray that hearts are opened, ears are open to hear what you want us to hear. And all the busyness and the craziness of the morning, it just subsides. With our open hearts and our open hands, we just give it to you. So we can just praise you and worship you and just be still before you. We love you, Lord. In your holy and precious name we pray. Amen. On most Sunday mornings, I am giving a message to a group of first through fourth graders in the next building. And every lesson that we give the J252 kids has what we call a ponder point. It's like a catchy phrase that sort of goes over the whole lesson, the scripture, the story, everything, and it's something that's easy for them to remember. And it was towards the end of the ministry year, and the kids were ready for summer. They had a serious case of cabin fever. The weather was very confused. It was hot, and then it was cold, and it got muddy, and then it snowed again, and then every parents pulled out the shorts, and then we had to put them all back away, and the kids were just really rambunctious. And the leaders, too, we get to a point where the kids are just having a tough time listening. I'm sure this isn't a season for everybody, is it? Because it is over in the other building, but it was the end of the year, and that's just the way that it goes. And in my own personal life, it was sort of that way, but just on a different scale. My husband and I, we work opposite shifts. I work days and he works nights. And we see each other in passing. Our three kids are going in three different directions. And I was just feeling pretty sour. I was just not feeling like I was doing a whole lot of things right. I wasn't feeling very free. We were hemorrhaging money. Our bills at our grocery store bill was just going up and up and up. I had buckets and buckets of socks to fold. I could not wait for summer so they didn't have to fold them and they could just wear flip-flops. I didn't have any peace. I didn't have any joy. But Jen, you work at a church, right? That just comes to you like as in the minute you walk in the door. No, not really. It doesn't. But I just wasn't very free. And I sat my sour self down and I looked at the lessons for the rest of the ministry year. I read all the ponder points. And I came across this ponder point for actually the Sunday that was coming up. And I read it and I said, I'm not doing that lesson. I'm not doing it. I came up with a ton of excuses. The kids won't understand the scripture. And they're not going to understand the ponder point. They're not going to understand the story. The leaders are going to say to me, "That they didn't understand that. Why did you do that?" All of these excuses. Do you know what the ponder point was? Jesus is freedom. That was the ponder point. And I didn't want to give it. Not because the kids wouldn't understand, not because they wouldn't understand the story or because the leaders wouldn't get anything out of it, because I wasn't feeling very free. And my convictions were holding me back from giving someone else a message about Jesus' freedom. Now, our wonderful, amazing Father God doesn't leave us with conviction. It doesn't go to condemnation. It ends up with grace and mercy. I gave the lesson. The kids did great. The leaders responded. And I left that day feeling a lot more free than I did when I walked in that morning. So that is my prayer and my hope for you today as I give you this message, is that when you leave here today, you feel a little bit more free in whatever area that you're feeling bondage in. Finances. Worry. You just leave feeling a little bit, and maybe by God's grace, totally free of whatever is holding you back. So if you've got your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 12, and we are going to start in verse 13. And we're going to go through this a couple verses at a time, because I am blessed by the details of what Jesus is trying to tell everyone here. So we will go ahead and start with verse 13.
It says, then someone called from the crowd, "Teacher, please tell my brother to divide my father's estate with me." Jesus replied, "Friend, who made me a judge over you to decide such a thing as that?" Then he said, "Beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own." So what I love about how this starts is that Jesus is in a crowd. It's a lot of people, shoulder to shoulder. It's probably noisy. And what I love about this is that through the noise, Jesus heard this person. How many times in our lives have we created noise, but Jesus still hears us? And not only does he hear us, he calls us friend. Now, the other thing about this story is this person in the crowd has one opportunity to talk to Jesus. He could have asked him anything. And he says, "Hey, can you tell my brother to give me half of what's mine, please?" And Jesus says, "You know, who made me a judge over those such a things?" How many times have we gone to Jesus with things that we've wanted that maybe had a kingdom purpose, but likely didn't have a kingdom purpose? He responds to us as friend, but he doesn't make himself a judge over those things. He's waiting for us to figure it out. And he knows the man's heart because he doesn't say, "You know what? Yeah, I think I can do that. Yeah, we can split that." He said, "No, beware. Guard your heart against every kind of greed." Jesus knew the man's heart. He wanted something he didn't have, something that consumed his thoughts, consumed his one moment with Jesus. It consumed it. And Jesus tells him, very lovingly, "Life is not measured by how much you own." If I were this guy, I would be like, well, that is not all what I wanted to hear. And we don't know what happens to him. But we do know that Jesus decides to rub it in just a little more, and he goes on to tell us a story, a parable, a simple story to explain something that's kind of hard to understand. So Jesus says, then he told him a story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, "What should I do? I don't have room for all my crops." Then he said, "I know, I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones. Then I'll have enough room to store all of my wheat and other goods. I'll sit back and say to myself, 'My friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you worked for?' Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth but not have a rich relationship with God." A parable that maybe most of us have heard before, some of us haven't. And when I read it to prepare this message, there were a few things that stood out to me. One is that this guy was already very successful. He had a great farm. He had barns that were full of wheat and other goods. His soil was great. Everything was wonderful. He seemed to have a very happy disposition, right? And Pastor Steve has said a million times, there is nothing wrong with being successful. Nothing. It's what you do with your success and who you give the glory to and how you can impact the kingdom of God with your success. There's nothing wrong with it. But what stood out to me about this parable as I read it again, to prepare for you guys, that I never picked up before, was that he's alone. He's not talking to a hired hand. He's not talking to his wife. He's not talking to God. He's talking to himself. He's got all of this stuff, and he seems to be very happy, but he's alone. He says, "Look what I've created. Good job, me. Way to go. And now I can just eat, drink, and be merry. I can just kick back and relax and store things up for the future." Couple of years ago, well, more than a couple, there was a couple of companies in America that made a ton of money by cutting words out of vinyl. You'd get it in a roll, you'd get it home, you'd hang it on the wall, you'd peel it off, and you'd hope that it was straight, and you'd have this saying on your wall out of vinyl. It's something very popular. One of these companies made a ton of money on a very popular phrase, and it was "eat, drink, and be merry." And what I thought was really funny is that the first time I read this, "eat, drink, and be merry," was in a parable called "The Rich Fool." Eat, drink, and be merry. Now, Pastor Steve just finished a series on Habakkuk, and in Habakkuk it says, eat, drink, and be exposed. And when you hear Jesus tell this parable, and you see that this person is alone, he's very self-centered. He's very happy with everything that he's created. He's not giving any glory to anybody else. And isn't that really what happens? We eat, drink, and be merry. Eat, drink, and be exposed. We are exposed because everything is self-centered on us. We're alone. We're self-centered. But God doesn't leave this person alone in this parable. In fact, he does the complete opposite. God said to him, "You fool. You will die this very night. Then who will get everything that you've worked for?" Nobody. You just die with big, full barns alone. Jesus goes on to say, yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. Earthly wealth. When you think of earthly wealth like billions or trillions, but what if we thought about that in our own life? Like, to some people, earthly wealth is $30. I said in the other service, I'd totally take $30 right now. It's already spent at Hy-Vee. But some people, earthly wealth, $300,000, $300 million. You spend all of that time gaining this earthly wealth, whatever that looks like, money, things. Are you putting those things towards the kingdom of God? Are you tithing? Are you giving? When you have the earthly wealth, are you giving the glory to God? What are you doing with whatever that success looks like for you? Spend all your time focused on earthly wealth and on yourself. But Jesus says a person is a fool to do that, but not have a rich relationship with God. So, Jen, what does it look like to have a rich relationship with God? Well, it means reading your Bible, spending time in prayer, worshiping, spending time with people who love Jesus, but spending time with people who don't love Jesus too. Obeying God's commandments, living like Jesus lived, and loving like Jesus loved. That's how you invest in a rich life. A person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. I heard once a pastor say that if the world tells you, if this is the line that the world tells you to live on, Apple, Microsoft, NBC, CNN, if this is what all those marketing companies, the malls, the houses, the cars, if this is where the world tells us that we're supposed to live, on this line or really above, let's be honest, because it's always getting higher, you really think that we're going to find freedom on this line or above? We're not. It's temporary. The world is going to fail us. We are going to fail us. We're going to be worried about stuff because that's what got us here in the first place, is coveting, wanting things that we don't have, greed, a heart posture that is not seeking the kingdom of God. Because this line, the world keeps raising this line that it wants us to live on. But it's living below the line where we find contentment. Living below the line where our faith grows. It's living below the line where we find freedom. Freedom from stuff. Freedom from money. Freedom from having just to continually please and gain more and more and more. And then what happens? We're so focused on ourselves, we have nobody to give it to, and we just end up dying spiritually with big, full barns. And that is not at all what Jesus came to do for us. Jesus does what he does, and he gets to the very heart of the issue of the man in the crowd and the man in the parable. It's worry. Worry about finances, and plain just worry about worry. And what I really love about where we're going in verse 22 is that Jesus' disciples are with him this entire time. They have heard him give the man in the crowd the lecture. They've heard the parable. And in Luke chapter 9, Jesus tells his disciples, when you follow me, don't take anything with you. You leave your walking stick, you leave your clothes, you leave your money, you leave your food, and you just don't pick up anything, and I want you to just follow me. So the disciples are hearing this lecture, and I've envisioned in my mind a couple of things are happening. They're either like, yeah, Jesus, you tell them, look at us, we have nothing. Aren't we just so righteous? Or what I would be, which is basically like, thanks for the reminder, Jesus, because I barely have shoes on my feet and I don't have my walking stick. And, you know, we don't have enough food for all of us. They're worried, but they should be worried because, you know, following you is hard. I mean, that's exactly where I would be. But Jesus' body position in verse 22 is what I want you to see, because he's facing the crowd. He's giving this lecture. He's talking to them. And he turns his body towards his disciples because he knows their heart. He knows their heart. He knows they are worried. They're worried about money. They're worried about food. They're worried about clothes. He knows their hearts, and he wants to turn towards the people who love him. Put yourself in this position. He's looking at all of us. He's turning his body towards us, and he wants to tell us something. And this is what he says in verse 22. Then turning to his disciples, Jesus said, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. I can just see Jesus. He's looking at us and he's pointing and he says, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food to eat or clothes to wear, for life is more than food, and your body is more than clothing. Look at the ravens. They don't plant or harvest store food in barns, for God feeds them. And you are far more valuable to him than any birds that do nothing. And Jesus says, my dad, if he takes care of them, he's going to take care of you. That's why you shouldn't worry about everyday life. He goes on to say, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And if worry can't accomplish a little thing like that, like adding more time to our lives, what's the use of worrying over big things? Worrying actually takes away from our lives. And Jesus says, don't worry about little things because it's not going to help you. I actually Googled what worry does to our life. I got 53,600,000 results in half a second. 53,600,000 results about what worry does to your life. And this is what I got. The stress from worry can cause feelings of genuine sickness. These feelings often mimic the way illness can make you feel. Your stomach can feel like it's rumbling. You may even feel nauseated. Feeling sick may be a sign that you've fallen ill, but it can also be a sign of chronic worry. Worrying doesn't add anything to your life. In fact, 53,600,000 results tell us it takes away from it. But Jesus has the solution. Don't worry. Take that, Google. Right? It's in the Bible in red letters, right? He goes on to say, look at the lilies and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So he's compared his disciples to birds that do nothing and says, my dad feeds them. He's now compared us to flowers that are beautiful. We plant them, they grow, we cut them, we put them in a vase. A couple days, they're gone. And King Solomon himself, the son of King David, Solomon, who had all the wisdom that God could possibly pour out into him, all the success, all the glory, everything, that even Solomon himself was not dressed as beautifully as the flowers are. And Jesus says, my dad, he will clothe you. If he takes care of these flowers, he will take care of you. And he knows the posture of the disciples after all they've seen, after all they've heard, because he looks at us and he says, "Why do you have such little faith? If my dad takes care of the birds and the flowers, will he not take care of us?" But Jen, you don't understand. Jesus is talking about food and clothes. I'm dealing with things like job loss and cancer and losing a loved one. But here's what I know, that my Jesus just said, "That is why I tell you not to worry. Because my dad, your heavenly Father, he's got this. Do not worry. Don't be concerned about what to eat or drink. Don't worry about these things." He says it like 3 times. I'm so glad that we serve a God whose final straw isn't bend, don't break. It's lean. He's asking us to lean in towards him. "These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world, but your Father already knows your," what's that last word? "Needs." How many of us have a pretty good idea of what our wants are? Me, I know what I want. But here's the question. When does God's wants become our needs? When does what God wants for us become something we desire so much for? When does that happen? I'm glad you asked, because I'm about to tell you. Verse 31, there's so many ways that God could have told us to do this. There's so many ways. And there's so many ways to relax and to relieve stress and to what things to do with our money that we could do that are good things. But God has a very simple solution for all of our financial worries and our just worry worries. And in verse 31, it says, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need." Seek the kingdom of God above what? All else. Everything. The world, the line, you. Because we already know that we fail us. The world fails us. Just leads us down this path. It's just a snowball. Just keeps going and going and going. We just keep gaining more stuff, more things, more debt. And the more that you own, the more that what? Owns you. There's not freedom in that. There's bondage. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. The kingdom of God means also seeking the will of God. What do you mean, Jen? I have to do what God wants me to do? That's exactly what I'm telling you. Earnestly, sincerely seek what God wants you to do. Because God is not going to call you to keep everything here. Your worries, your money, he's not. That's not what God calls us to do. It's just so interesting that the Bible's illustrations and word pictures are so much about farming, spreading seed, sowing, planting, all of those things. It's because that's not what we're called to do. We're called to give. Okay, Jen, you gave your message. I'm going to go home and I'm going to seek his will first. And I did. So what if I seek his will and it means that I go home and I look in my closet and I give away all my best clothes? Not my worst clothes, my best clothes. Or what if it means that I have all these empty bedrooms at home and I open up my home to one of the hundreds of foster kids in Jasper County? Or what if seeking his will first and his kingdom first means that I have to step out of my comfort zone, out of my holy huddle, put down my phone, stop Facebook scrolling, Instagram posting, Snapchat snatting, and do something that makes me feel a little pity outy? What if that's what that means? But here's what I know. That God's not going to take you from this place where you're really comfortable. Do you know where I'm really comfortable? In those chairs. God's not going to take you from where you're comfortable and pluck you from there and just put you where he called you and just leave you. He's not going to do that. The second part of verse 31 is, and he will give you what? Everything you need. He'll give you patience. He'll give you kindness and gentleness, the fruits of the Spirit. He'll change your heart posture. All of a sudden, what you're partnering with is not what you want to be partnered with anymore. That contract of selfishness and gaining things and all of these things that distract us, you rip it in half, because the contract, what you want to partner with, is God's will and the kingdom of heaven, because that's what we're called to do. He doesn't just move you from comfortable to uncomfortable and leave you. That's not what our good Father, the Counselor, does for us. He gives us everything we need. I told this story in the last service. My husband didn't know I was going to tell it. He wasn't mad, thankfully. But my husband's name is Tracy, and Tracy went to college, and he got a degree, and he inherited from his grandpa this ability to build things with his hands, whether it's out of block or wood, fix cars. I mean, he's just very talented. God gave him a great gift. And for most of Tracy's working career, that's what he did. He did. And he got to this point where he was a Grouchosaurus. He's not here, so I can say that. But he just was not a happy camper. He wasn't. He was in the desert. He did not have a very close relationship with God. And we could feel it between the two of us. There's no doubt about it. He was lost. I wasn't. So, of course, I was very self-righteous. But I was just like, you need to get closer to God, whatever that looks like. And he's like, I just can't. I don't know how to get back there. I'm so angry. I'm so mad. I'm so tired. I'm. Well, there was a Sunday morning, and Pastor Steve, and he does this every now and then, he asks us to pray a prayer that says, let me see what you see. Let me feel what you feel. And break my heart for what breaks yours. And Tracy very sincerely prayed that prayer. And this started this change in him. God needed Tracy to be prepared for his next career. It was something he needed to be ready for, because he went from building things to serving people in a completely different capacity. Tracy decided to seek God's will first, because he figured out that seeking his will wasn't. Because for him, it was so much easier to be in unhappiness and be in bondage, have convictions. It was so much easier for him to stay there. And that's how it is for us. It's a lot easier to stay here and in bondage than to face our convictions. But why? Jesus came to seek and save, to set the captives free. That's what he did. And we choose to stay here instead of stay here. Why? Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he'll give you everything you need. Oftentimes, I will have a really hard conversation with my girls, and it ends up in yelling, and then I have to apologize. But after I have a hard conversation with them, and I have to discipline them, I like to get on their eye level, and I hunch down like this. Now, if you've seen my girls, they're 10 and 7. They're almost as tall as me. So, hunkering down doesn't really work anymore. But I can only imagine that in this next verse, that's kind of what God is doing. Because he's already given us examples on why we should not worry and why we should be okay and why we should lean in. And he asks us, why do you have such little faith? And he tells us to do something like move from here, from selfishness, to freedom. And he says, listen, I know it's scary. I know. But he calls us and he says, don't be afraid, little flock. I can just imagine God our Father getting on his knees and looking at us in the face and said, don't be afraid. I know this is going to be hard, but freedom should not be scary. It shouldn't be scary. Freedom from finance is not scary. Freedom from worry is not scary. I've gone before you. I know what it looks like on the other side, and I promise you, you will love it. My mentor told me, Jen, it is not biblical. It is not God's way for you to worry about money all of the time. That is not what Jesus came to do for you. So stop it. You seek his kingdom above all else. Does it make sense to the world for us to take 10% of this very little resource that we have and give it to the kingdom of God? It absolutely does not. But that's what God is calling us to do. We seek his kingdom first, and that's what he tells us. Because this isn't about us. It's about God's kingdom. And he wants to use us. It changes our heart posture, what we partner with. And when that happens, we start to become free. It is time for us to start walking and talking like we're free. Because we have to start looking differently. Because when we start to look differently here, we start to look differently here. We walk a little taller. We talk a little bit more confidently. That's what freedom does. And money is one of those things, guys, that it is a ball and a chain. And it will grab you. And like Marcy had the talk about the rocks, we give those rocks and we take them back. And then what happens is we come back with a ton more. So don't be afraid, little flock. For it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. God wants the kingdom for us. But we can't get it until we become free. Until we go from this to this. And it makes him so happy. Sell your possessions and give to those in need. Again, to set it up, that the possessions that people in this time had, they were a difference between life and death of having or not having them. Things that kept them safe, things that kept them alive. And it says here, to sell your possessions and give to those in need. This will store up treasure for you in heaven. And I love this word picture. And the purses of heaven never get old or develop holes. They never get old and they don't develop holes. Your treasure will be safe. No thief can steal and no moth can destroy. The happiness and the joy and the blessings that come from seeking the kingdom of God first, nobody can take that from you. Because what you end up finding is the joy, the thing that makes you the most happy. When you start to live below the line and you start to turn the focus from yourself to others, is you find the joy in your salvation. You start to relive every day, every moment, what Jesus did for us. He died for us so that we could be free. He didn't die for us so that we worry every single day, every minute about everything. Because that's what we do. And the world wants to give us all these quick fixes, and it's a slippery slope. I heard once that debt is basically telling God that his provision isn't good enough. And that hit me hard because his provision is so good. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. When you start to seek the kingdom of God first, your whole perspective will change. You'll look different, you'll act different. Maybe giving away all your best clothes is something that you're like, no. But you will. And someone can be blessed by them. Or maybe you are supposed to share that bedroom with a kid who needs a family. And you'll get the patience and the resources that you need to do so. But the most important thing that I want you to take away from this is Jesus is freedom. God provided a way for us to be free from worry. Period. End of story. He says, don't do it. And if you seek the kingdom of God above everything, I've got an answer for every single situation in life. And I'll give you everything you need to get through it. You just have to seek me first. If you go to Hebrews chapter 4, when I was preparing this message, I felt like I needed to remind people that God sent Jesus to seek and save. But Jesus was just like all of us. He was born, he had to learn to walk, he had to learn to learn, he had to learn scripture, he had a family, he was just like us. And he didn't just come to teach us and to tell us what we're doing wrong and flip over tables and be this righteous one, because he is and he was and he did. But he walked with us. Literally walked right beside them. And in Hebrews chapter 4, starting with verse 15, it says, this high priest of ours, the high priest, he understands our, what's that W word? Weaknesses. He understands our weaknesses. He understands our worry of not having what we need. He understands worry about money. He understands worry about people and cancer and kids and all of these things that we worry about. He knows that's a weakness for us, and it says he understands. He gets it. He faced all the same testings. Yes, he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. Doesn't matter where you are in your walk. It doesn't matter. Jesus understands our weaknesses. He's been there. And he says, you come boldly to the throne. Boldly to the throne of the gracious God. And there we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it the most. I'll tell you what, I need it all the time. Because it is so easy for me to slip back into this, to carry those buckets of rocks around. It is so easy. But what I know is that God says, you don't have to bend, you don't have to break, you just need to lean. Because while it's easier to live in bondage, because we don't have to deal with the stuff, it is so sweet to live in freedom. And that's what I want from you guys today. That's what I want for you, my prayer for you, is to go from this to this, whatever that looks like in your life, money, worry, finance, whatever it is, kids, taking care of people, I don't care. There's something that you are in bondage to. And this whole sermon series is about freedom. And it's time for us to be free and look like we're free because we are free. It has been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus. Go from this to this. Before the worship team comes up and we can respond, there's a really great couple in our church, and their names are Taryn and Ryan Kurowski. And they're a young couple, younger than me. And there's this phrase that I use, only God. And I use it when things only God could do, right? So Ryan and Tara, several years ago, found themselves in a ton of debt. Just a ton. And it was in Ryan and Tara's heart that even though they were in debt, they were plugged into a church and they wanted to tithe. And everything in them was like, we can't give money. We don't have any money to give. Look at this mountain of debt that we have accrued. And we're supposed to tithe, but it was in their heart to do it. And in this video, you get a very small glimpse, a short glimpse, of what God did for them when they were obedient and they decided to go from bondage to freedom, from worry of finance and worry of worry. So can we show that video, Mom?
Tara Kurowski. It started with tithing. That was the first area where we started to release our money, but it was like a monthly thing. Like the first month, maybe it would be $50, and then the next time, maybe it'd be $100, and we'd slowly get there until we were tithing, and it was like we didn't realize that money was gone. And, you know, in our minds, we knew, and in our hearts, we knew that money was going to be put to better use than what we could ever do with that money.
Yeah, and that was quite the transition. I remember the first conversation I had with my brother about it. He was telling me that it's like, you need to tithe. You need to give that money back to God. It's God's money. It's not yours. And I didn't want to hear it. Like, it wasn't something that I wanted to be told how to spend my money. And we were, you know, making ends meet down in Kansas City. Like, I didn't think I had the room in the budget for it. It was like, there's no way I can take 10% of what I make out, like, I won't be able to feed Tara and I, you know. But slowly we started doing it. We're like, you know what, we're going to do it. Like, this is what God's telling us to do. So we started, you know, giving $50 a week, like what she was saying, and then we would increase it. And every time we did, we never noticed that money was gone. It was never like, oh my gosh, I can't, you know, pay my water bill because I tithe this month. And it was really cool to see God kind of change our hearts. And I know one of the big things that stuck with me was one of the reasons I wanted to start tithing in the first place was not just because like the Bible, you know, tells you to, but because they put such an emphasis in the Bible on like where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I wanted my heart and like our hearts, I wanted them to be focused on God and not on money. And giving that tithe is that small first step of saying like, God, this is yours. Like this was never mine to begin with. And I should be thankful for what I have. And I'm going to give you back that, at least, you know, the first 10. And then that's with my time, my money, you know, all of it. So that was kind of the starting point.
So the world would tell these two young people that you should just do whatever you want. Eat, drink, and be merry. You only live once. The debt, it'll be there always. You should go on trips. You should go on vacations. You should buy more Apple products. You should do whatever you want. Ryan and Tara, they didn't do that. Their life changed dramatically when they decided to seek the kingdom of God above all else. And they realized that their blessings from God were exactly that. All the good things that they had, they came directly from God. And they figured out that what God gave them wasn't meant to stop with them. It was meant to flow from them. That meant their money, their time, and their resources. So that's my prayer for you today, is that you take a good, long, considerate look at whatever it is that is keeping you in bondage. Money, worry, whatever it is. And you go from this to this, because it is a sweet, sweet spot to be in. Will you pray with me, please? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your Son, Jesus, that he is our portion, and he is our friend in time of need, and his eye is always on us. Lord, you take care of the birds. You take care of the flowers. If you take care of them, your word says that you will take care of us. Lord, I just pray that during this time of response, people's hearts are open, their hands are open, and your spirit just starts to move in people a way that it hasn't moved in before, that the chains of bondage can be broken. And your kingdom will advance because of your servant hearts in all of us. We love you, Lord. In your name, precious name we pray. Amen. We have prayer ministers available. We also have communion. So we would like you to go ahead and respond in worship as you would like to.
Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. Are you ready to receive it? Felt like as Jen was talking, that was a word that stuck out, was that word of receive. Are we ready to receive all that God has for us? Because he can do immeasurably more than we could ever think or imagine. He is for us and he is not against us. Are we ready as a people to step into that, to continue stepping into that? One of the things that I love most about my job is watching people step into obedience, step out in faith, and do what God's calling them to do. And the amazing things that God does through that. Hearts that are surrendered to him. Lives that are obedient to what he calls us to do. So will you please stand and receive this blessing? As you go about your week, may you know the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Go in peace.